a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The South Dakota Senate Transportation Committee will please come to order. I would ask that everyone please silence your cell phones out of courtesy to the audience, the people that are going to testify, and to the committee members. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Senators Cutler, Hansen,
here.
Krebs, Maher,
here.
Hunstad,
here.
Frisley,
here.
Valley.
Here.
Five present.
We have a quorum this morning. The minutes were provided to you in the black books. The chair at this point would entertain a motion on the minutes. Been moved by Senator Hansen, seconded by Senator Frisley to approve the minutes as they appear. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved as they are written. As the chair, I want to welcome all the folks on the internet and also the folks here. We do have some pages here this morning, and I would like for them to make their way over to the microphone and tell us who you are and where you're from, and if you got some future plans, you want to tell us where you're thinking about going after you graduate.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Strowman, and I'm from Pierre, and I'm headed to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia to study education.
Who?
I'm Leah Seifer, and I'm from Wolsey, and I plan on attending STSU and majoring in Ag Communications with a minor in Equine Science.
All right. Thank you very much. If you do have a handout this morning, I request that you give it to the pages, and they will distribute it to the committee, and please do that behind the counter up here. If you are planning on testifying this morning, request that you sign in at the podium by the door so that the secretary can make sure she gets your name spelled correctly and that we know who you are representing. As we go through the process, the chair always requests that all questions go through the chair. If you are going to testify, anyone can testify for themselves. If you are representing an organization, you do have to have a lobbyist badge. But anyone in the state of South Dakota can testify in favor of a bill, but they need to do it for themselves. With that, we will open up the public hearing on Senate Bill 181. Senator Ferrix.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. First off, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, as well as the folks who probably are more so in opposition, but thanks for waiting around for me. I know we postponed till 9 here, and it's very generous of you to do that. My name is Senator Jason Ferrix from Wilmot. I represent District 1, and which is Roberts Day in Marshall Counties. I bring before you today Senate Bill 181, and this bill is something that I had been thinking about for some time, and I had a fellow from Watertown, Greg Endries is his name, who farms there and is also fairly involved in the community, presented the idea. Right now, we only use single trailers on our farm when we haul either from the field to the to our farm or from our farm to the ethanol plant or to the terminal. But I have thought about it some time. It would be nice to be able to hook two trailers together when we haul from the farm and make that 20, 30-mile haul when we go to the ethanol plant or when we may go to a terminal. And so that's why I bring before you this bill today, because right now the current limits are 81 feet 6 inches. And if I call your attention to the handout that the page has been very generous to, Shanelle made me copies earlier, but now she's handing them out, so you see that I'm actually using them. But anyways, you can see the handout on top is current practice. Now, bear with me on my drawing. I am not an artist, and nothing is drawn to scale. I tried to be a little bit cognizant that if it's a longer vehicle, that I should make it look longer on the paper. But if you look on the top, is 81 feet 6 inches, roughly. Now, I think if you total those up, I'm a little bit less than 81 feet 6 inches. And we're just looking at the trailers as far as our 81 feet 6 inches. The first trailer on top is 38 feet. which is fairly typical as far as most grain hoppers. They might be about 38 foot or somewhere in that range. It just depends. Now, in the middle there, you really have to imagine with me, but that is a dolly, and the dolly is used to hook the two trailers together. So the dolly is about 10 feet long. Again, I maybe didn't draw it 10 feet long, but that's where it's supposed to be. And then on the end would be a 30-foot, basically sometimes called a pup, or the last trailer that's in that sequence. So that's current practice. Now, the reason I want you to really focus, think about that 30-foot trailer. That 30-foot trailer really doesn't help us out a whole lot when you're hauling from the field to the farm. It does, but at the same time, if you think about, depends on the height and everything else in that 30-foot trailer, but, you know, you might, I'm just rough guess, it might be in that, you know, 750 bushel range, something like that. It's nice if you can get to about 900 bushels of corn or soybeans or wheat or whatever it may be. So with that 30-foot, we actually limit ourselves where we, you know, haul less, but it's still legal, obviously, with that 38-foot trailer as long as you're in the right requirements for load restrictions. So, the difference here is we haul less with the 30-footer. So now I take you down to the proposal for Senate Bill 181 is where we would have a 42-foot trailer and possibly a 38-foot trailer. It could even be, two 38-foot trailers. You just have to keep in mind that last trailer has to be smaller or at the same size as the front trailer. You don't want a very heavy trailer that's trailing at the end and then a light one in the middle. It just doesn't work quite right. So that's the main thing to be cognizant of. So with this bill, it would allow us to be up to a maximum of 90 feet. I think in this sequence, we should be right at that length or somewhere around there. So that's what I'm proposing for you today on Senate Bill 181. If you look to the change that's on page 2 of the bill, it just states that we would have a semi-trailer or semi-trailer combination length. Could be 90 feet if it's being used for farm-to-market purposes. Now, you may ask yourselves, why should farmers be given this exception? Why would we look at only farm-to-market? Well, I call your attention in the code to 3222 and then 16.3, and I do thank the folks from Carrier Enforcement for providing me the exact statute. I knew it existed, but I didn't know where it was at for sure. And so we do have good help from our folks who work here in state government. If you see in the statute there, it talks about how they can exceed, and this is on weight, so we're talking about the weight of products, and it just states vehicle hauling ag products from farm storage or livestock farm is it not exceeding the limits by more than 5%. So when they're going from the farm, they have that 5%, but they have to be in that 50-mile range. And our friend with the Truckers Association stated that 50-mile range is a pretty good indicator that they're going to stay close to home. And so if you're looking at possibilities, I would suggest a friendly amendment to be would be to add that 50-mile range. If that's really a sticking point, that's fine with me. 50 miles, it takes care of any situations where we'd want to go from farm to market. That's really not much of an issue, and it would be nice. But at the same time, I'm not quite sure that has to be a sticking point, but perhaps that was something part of the deal at the time. So as I bring you today this legislation, later here you'll hear from folks that'll say, well, we're going to lose federal highway money. Because we're not in 1991, and this wasn't part of the deal, that we can't do this. Well, I know the feds have some pretty strict rules, and we have to follow what they put in front of us. However, there are some exceptions, as you can see, not only on the weight side of things that they did make for farm to market. You can also see that, there's always, right now we can get permits and things like that, even annual permits that will last. Now, the reason I have a problem with the permits is because those permits will limit you to where you will be driving. Mostly permits might just be on interstates. They might be on some state highways. But if we have that one section, that 1 mile of township road that the farmer probably maintains mostly anyways to take care of it, we're really not adding any more weight. These trailers would be traveled. I mean, we have the distance and everything else. We're not all talking about weight. We're just talking about length. And so that farmer would have to make a decision. Can I make that turn when I leave the farm? And can I get on the highway? Well, if they can't, then they can't be this long. But if they know they can make the turn, especially with the, you know, however everything is set up, you know, they probably be just fine. So, sure, there's going to be some disagreement as far as that federal highway money. We are given a year to come back in compliance if the feds don't agree with us. I do think we're at a little bit different time, though, where this is becoming more common practice for farmers to want to hook up two trailers. And I should back up. The reason why I would like to hook up two trailers is simply from an efficiency standpoint. Here would be an example. So say in the fall when we may be harvesting, we might have a hired man to drive a semi-truck or two hired men, especially if it's good corn like we hope we have again this year. So if you have some truck drivers in the fall, well, now at this time of the year, when the grain starts to flow back off the farm and into the ethanol plants, the terminals, usually we're limited as far as the amount of people we have around. And so instead of having to hire another truck driver to pull that other trailer, we could hook the two together and obviously have everything set up in the yard so it's easy to load both trailers, head down the road, and away you go. So more so from an efficiency standpoint, that's why we would like to hook the two together and have the lengths, because, like I said, that 30-foot trailer is fairly, in some cases, almost worthless in if you look at as far as, you know, the efficiencies back to the harvest time. It's nice if you can be in that 38-foot, 42-foot range as far as those trailers. So with that, Mr. Chair, I will stand by for questions. I know I'll be here for a rebuttal, but more importantly, I look forward to some good discussion, and I hope that what I can ask out of the committee is that you, you know, explore some opportunities here. And, yes, we do not want to lose federal highway money. At the same time, I think it's all right if we can challenge the feds on their 1991 ruling, which obviously might be time for some updates. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. I think what we will do is we'll take proponents and opponents, and then we'll do some questions, because we might get some questions answered that way, and sure, it wouldn't put you on the spot as much maybe if we get others. Further proponents of Senate Bill 181. Further proponents of Senate Bill 81. Last call for proponents of Senate Bill 181. We'll move to opponents of Senate Bill 181. Mr. Nevin, good to see you.
Good to see you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Members of the committee, good morning. Bill Nevin with the Department of Transportation. As Senator Frerichs has advised this committee, the Department of Transportation rises in opposition to this bill. We have some real concerns that it would, in fact, impact our federal highway funding. And, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to briefly go back and go through the regulatory scheme, if I can, to explain to you folks how that would occur. Federal law prescribes the allowable weight and size restrictions for commercial motor vehicles on the interstate highway system and other federal aid primary highways. Federal law also defines a longer commercial vehicle as a truck, tractor unit, and two or more trailers or semi-trailers, two or more cargo-carrying units, which operates on the interstate system at over 80,000 gross vehicle weight. Federal statute that was enacted shortly before 1991 allows LCVs, or longer commercial vehicles, to continue to operate on the interstate system only if the configuration of that LCV was authorized by a state statute or regulation that was in effect on June 1, 1991. Another federal statute grants Federal Highway Administration rulemaking authority to implement that Section 127. And in accordance with that authority, the Code of Federal Regulations requires states to designate, as of June 1, 1991, which of its federal aid primary highways are going to be available for use by LCVs in addition to the interstate system. Together with other states' LCV routes, those designated routes comprise a national network of highways available for LCV operation. That federal regulation then goes on to provide that LCVs are to be allowed only on those designated LCV routes. South Dakota's designated LCV routes on federal aid primary system roads, in addition to the interstates, is set out by administrative rule at ARSD 7003-0165. And, Mr. Chairman, I apologize for not having a number of copies of this available. I do have one copy. What I have is a copy of the State Highway Systems map, and highlighted in blue is the designated LCV system in South Dakota. And with your permission, I'll have a page, let the committee take a look at this. In essence, it is Interstate 29, Interstate 90, including 229 and 190, and then a couple of other sections of state highway. In any event, this is South Dakota's designated LCV route system as of June 1, 1991. Yes, the highlighted in blue are the authorized LCV units that have been designated by South Dakota law and approved by Federal Highway Administration. Federal regulation promulgated in accordance with this statute also prohibits on designated routes an LCV whose combined length exceeds the maximum length that was authorized by state statute or regulation as in existence on January 1, 1991. Federal law does allow minor adjustments of a temporary and emergency nature to the route system, but only with the permission of Federal Highway Administration after a request from the governor of a state. They can allow a variation of a temporary and emergency nature only to that designated LCV system. The length restrictions in South Dakota law are set forth at SDCL 3222.8.1, which is the subject of this bill. That law, which was in effect on June 1, 1991, in subsection 4, sets a maximum length for an LCV at 81.5 feet, excluding the truck tractor, as long as neither cargo carrying unit exceeds 45 feet in length. And that's been the state law since prior to June 1, 1991. This bill would allow a commercial motor vehicle with two cargo carrying units, two or more, so it's an LCV under federal definition, to be up to 90 feet long on any state highway if the vehicle is being used for farm-to-market purposes. The bill would take South Dakota out of compliance with 23 U.S.C. Section 127 by allowing LCVs longer than that which were allowed on June 1 of 1991 and by allowing LCVs on other state highways that have not been designated as part of the LCV route system for South Dakota. 23 U.S.C. Section 141 provides a yearly penalty of 10% of the apportioned federal funds to be withheld from a state who is not in compliance with this federal law. States are required to certify each year that they're in compliance. If a state is not in compliance, it loses 10% of its highway funds. If that state comes back into compliance within a year, then those funds are restored to the state. However, if the state is not back in compliance within a year, that 10% is reapportioned among the other states and lost forever, and an additional 10% sanction is imposed each year until compliance is met. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would request that this committee not pass Senate Bill 181 for the reasons that I've outlined, and I would be happy to stand by for any questions that someone may have later.
Thank you. Further opponents of Senate Bill 181? Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Rob Weinmeister, Department of Public Safety, specifically Motor Carrier Services. I have some safety concerns with Senate Bill 181. A number of discussions have taken place this year within the halls of the Capitol in reference to the condition of our state's rural roads. The reason that I bring that up is many of the county and township roads that are to be used by the vehicles that would fall under this bill would be affected. Many of the roads were built decades ago, and we did not have the size of vehicles that we currently have. Many of the common trucks that you see out there are the tractor, semi-trailer, trailer combination that by current state law are allowed 81 feet, 6 inches from the front of the first trailer to the rear of the second trailer. any combination of semi-tractor with two cargo-carrying units behind it would constitute a longer commercial vehicle, or LCV. Currently, any LCV at or under 81.6 can operate anywhere within the state. Any LCV that exceeds the 81-foot, 6-inch length requirement requires a longer combination vehicle permit. One of the requirements for receiving an LCV permit is to determine if the off-tracking falls within acceptable guidelines. To explain off-tracking, it is the difference between where the front tires turn a corner compared to where the last set of tires turn the corner, or basically how much do the rear tires cut the corner compared to the front tires. Because some of the lengths of these tractor, semi-trailer, trailer combinations and the off-tracking, you see many of these vehicles are making wide turns. These wide turns on the narrow roads place the vehicles on the shoulders and edges of the roadway while they're making their turns. The edges of the roadway were not constructed to carry the heavy weights that the main traveled portion of the road can. The guidelines for off-traffic are established in the administrative rules. There are only certain routes that the LCV can operate on, which are spelled out both in the administrative rule and federal rule, which Mr. Nevin has already passed out to you. These routes are designed to accommodate the longer vehicles and their greater turning radiuses. A second concern would be from the enforcement aspect. By enacting this bill, there would be two different standards in place, one of 81 foot, 6 inches, and one of 90 foot if the operation is farm to market. The enforcement officers would not be able to distinguish if the combination vehicle is operating farm to market. The only way for the officers to know this is to speak directly with each driver. Another problem would be the definition of the farm is not spelled out. Would it allow for 90-foot operations that haul from the field to the farm? They're not going to the market at the time. You do see many of these out there in that configuration now. Another concern is the double standard that would be imposed. The trucking industry would still be required to abide by the 81-foot, 6-inch maximum length. So the bill would allow for a disparity in the enforcement of a regulation that is currently being applied uniformly. What would be gained in allowing this change is not worth the safety that would be lost. And I would ask that you not support this bill and would be available to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Further opponents of Senate Bill 181. Got a traffic jam here in the Transportation Committee.
Traffic cops. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Myron Rao, President and Registered Lobbyist for the South Dakota Trucking Association. And also, Mr. Chairman, if you'll allow me a little latitude, I'm also a 26-year veteran of the Highway Patrol, and some of my testimony is going to splash that direction. I was in headquarters at the time when we had to carve this stuff in stone that Mr. Nevin's talking about. There was an employee from the Department of Transportation and I that sat for, I want to say 6 months, but it was probably 2 months, because we had to declare everything we were doing at the time, because that's what Congress carved in stone under what they call the LCV freeze. And it was ICET is what it was called, the Intermodal Surface Transportation Efficiency Act. That's where all of this was carved in stone. That exists today and can't be changed. Now, I'm going to start by saying the trucking industry doesn't like that. The fact is that things have changed. Tractors have changed. Trailers have changed. Drivers have changed. Braking systems have changed. And we think it's time to thaw that freeze and make some changes. However, as Mr. Nevin indicated, until Congress acts, we have this 10% sanction that we have to live with. And we know we can't maintain our infrastructure with a 10% sanction. So consequently, we've lived with it. We've taken steps. The industry has, to attempt to get Congress to look at some of these issues. And I could go on, but it would be irrelevant to this particular issue. Several things I'd like to point out about this particular bill. First of all, when you look at the senator's drawing, I've never seen a configuration where it's 10 feet between trailers. You hook that dolly, they're real tight when they hook up. We're talking 4 to 6 feet between those trailers. If he would, and again, it's a proposed, if he would do a 40-foot trailer or a 36-foot trailer, he could do this legally. The Senator Frerichs also said something that kind of sparked my, and I wrote it down because, again, the committee needs to remember what he said. We don't intend to add weight. We just want longer trailers. Why you do longer trailers, you're going to add weight. I mean, that's not, if you're not going to add weight, why do it? So please keep that in mind also. I agree with Captain Weinmeister. Farm to market, the way is written in this bill, honestly, if you pass it, I'm going to tell my folks to start doing this. Because when we loaded Britain and we're hauling to a market in Sioux Falls, why shouldn't we be able to do this also? Because you've given no parameters. It says farm to market. I think that, again, I think that if you're going to do this, you got to keep in mind we got to do it fairly, and we got to do it with our eyes wide open. And like I say, the sanction we can't live with. I think this is another unfair issue if you're going to do strictly for farmers. The way it's written now, it's not written for farmers. It's written for everybody. And I don't think we want to go there. We've got an infrastructure problem already. We start adding weight, we're going to suffer even further. So again, in our case, on behalf of the Trucking Association, I would encourage you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rao. Further opponents of Senate Bill 181.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Deb Mortensen. I'm the registered lobbyist for the Associated General Contractors Highway Heavy Utilities Chapter. We are also here this morning in opposition to the bill. As this bill is written, as you've heard before, passage would cost the state highway fund $19.8 million. When you couple that with the fact that they are already $160 million short in their annual needs to repair and maintain our roads, that's pretty scary. Throw on top of that the fact that they have an $800 million construction backlog. To me, that's a powerful message to kill this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mortensen. Further opponents of Senate Bill 181. Further opponents of Senate Bill 181. Last call for opponents on Senate Bill 181. At this point, Senator, would you like a rebuttal?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I also appreciate the folks that came here to offer their insight. And I really need to clarify, and I thought I was clear, but when you're talking about adding weight, the point is if those trailers were split like we would typically haul, I'm not talking about adding more weight to those trailers when you hook the two together. So if you take each of those trailers individual, and of course in the bottom of the drawing, if you take that 42-foot trailer and 38-foot trailer, right now they're operating independent. We just simply want to hook them together, meaning so we can pull them, not adding more weight. And I thought that was clear, and it's obviously you know, the intent from Mr. Rao is that he wants to try to confuse you and think that you know, we're going to try to be going from the difference of the 38 to 30. Right now, we don't have 38 to 30. I'm not doing that. I'm talking about we have them split, and I want you to look at hooking the two trailers together. And so that's the pure intention, and I hope that you'll keep it focused there, because right now the 42-foot by itself is legal and the 38-foot by itself is definitely legal. I knew the scare tactics would be out there, of course, as far as losing this federal highway money, and as all of us know, we don't want to lose that money, and we're going to make every effort to guarantee that money stays with us. But at the same time, you know, there's plenty of times, and it's common nature for us in South Dakota, we're a fair amount independent enough to realize that, you know, if we don't like something that the feds are telling us to do, we like to try to find ways to challenge that effort and at least show to the federal government that, in this case, that they need to update some of their transportation laws. And so that's why I think this is still a worthwhile piece of legislation, having known that yes, we may not be in compliance to begin with. Let's give the feds a chance to respond. There's certainly a new Congress that's in action. There's a new administration, and who knows, you know, what will come out of all of that. Now, next, I just need to address as far as the enforcement. Motor Carrier brings up the fact that enforcement will be tough. Well, right now they're already enforcing the farm to market for overweight. Why would this be any different? You know, as that truck is sailing down the highway, I'm not very good at determining length, and I doubt that any of our friends in motor carrier can determine the length of these trucks until they stop them. So they say they have to talk to drivers. That's the way it is regardless if it's 81 feet 6 inches or if we're at 90 foot. How are they going to know that somebody is out of compliance until they stop them and perform some measurements? As far as the dolly, I think that's, you know, a minor point of contention there. That was just what was brought up to me from Mr. Endres. He said that their dolly happens to be about 10-foot length. You know, you just have to remember that those trailers have to have enough room to turn. Sure, we could shorten the dolly up to 8-foot or maybe 6-foot or whatever it may be, but the point still exists is we want to be able to use trailers that have some length to them. Next up, just to address the issues as far as the field to farm. Sure, it is written a little bit loosely. You know, that still exists, though, and like I read to you as far as our current state statute. So we do have language that says going from the farm to market. And as far as the question of wanting to haul from the field to the farm, you know, that's a different situation. And if somebody is not in compliance, they have to be held accountable. I mean, it's very clear if that's where they're heading. That's what they're going to. I wouldn't worry about as much, though, because it's pretty tough to get in and out of these fields and approach with if you have two trailers hooked up. We're talking about just staying on the roadways and moving down. And sure, some people do load on the road, but nobody likes that. Neighbors don't like it when you load on the road, and it's really not fair to everyone else. So as you go to make your decision today, I hope that you'll remember that this is definitely an effort to challenge what is status quo right now from the federal government, what they have laid out. But at the same time, it's just really about efficiency. And I'm aiming this more towards farmers. Truckers Association says that they would use it if need be. However, they said they don't like it. You know, I think it's something that needs to be discussed because it easily happens. Today's farms are striving more for efficiency, and this will be just one more tool in that toolbox. And like I said, the roads, everything else would be, if they were split, to be the same amount of weight. Sure, it's something we have to look at for the shoulders, but that's, again, something that the trucker would have to know what situation they're getting into. With that, Mr. Chair, thank you, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you. We will now open it up to questions of either proponents or opponents by the committee. Questions? Senator Hansen.
Thank you. For Mr. Nevin, please. Mr. Chair, I'm fortunate that this map ended up at this end of the table, so I got just a little look at it a little longer. But now, you said that these designations were put in place in 1991.
I didn't bring the administrative rule itself with me, but yes, that's our LCV system that was in effect and approved by Federal Highway under their regulations.
Okay, and I understand that, and I guess that it's very understandable. The I-29, I-90, you know, their role, and of course you have little chunks of 281 north of Aberdeen, and used to be about between Huron and where the intersection with I-90, and then also going east from Huron on Highway 14. And are you saying that we no longer have the privilege of even being able to modify those designations? But the reason I ask is, you know, since that time we've added four-lane limited access from, you know, going basically from Huron to Mitchell, also the one from Aberdeen to Summit, and the one from Pier down to, and it's, I would think from a safety standpoint, it would really be nice if we could modify those designations, but are you saying that that's not possible?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hansen, I'm saying that any change to that system as authorized by law now, would have to be only of a temporary or emergency nature. Sure. It would have to arise as a result of a request from the governor of the state, and would have to be approved by Federal Highway.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions by the committee? Mr. Nevin, don't walk too fast. Senator Maher.
In your testimony, you talked about 90 feet already is allowed in parts. In your testimony, I wasn't following what you were
saying. Mr. Chairman, I don't think that I'm the one that spoke to that, although under current law, LCVs of up to 81.5 feet are allowed anywhere on the state trunk system. In excess of that length, they would have to have a permit from motor carrier and be limited to operating on these LCV routes.
Just those routes?
Correct.
In blue?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
That's correct.
Okay.
And I do have a question. You have to, even if you're on these blue routes, I'll call them, you do have to have a special permit. I just can't go out there and do it. I got to. And do I get that permit each time? I guess that would be my question.
Mr. Chairman, there's someone here I know can answer that better than me. My understanding is, yes, you do need a permit, a single-trip permit each time. They're indicating, apparently, that for once in my life I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So.
Mr. Chairman, a follow-up before you...
Follow-up. Go ahead.
Okay, let's say this bill were to pass. How would it affect county roads? I mean, we don't lose any state... We wouldn't lose federal money on county roads, would we?
Mr. Chairman, the restrictions that I'm referring to that would impact our federal funding are not county roads, only federal aid primary highways, which are essentially most of the state trunk system.
Further questions by the committee? Senator Frisley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at the length part of it, would these truckers or farmers be legal if they put more axles under the same length trailers and could haul larger loads? Or is it a certain weight, no matter what the axle number is, according to the length?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, with your and Senator Frisley's permission, I'd prefer to refer that question to one far more able to answer it than me.
Would it be Mr. Winemaster?
Perhaps Captain Winemaster can do that.
Please go ahead, Mr. Winemaster.
Senator, it's based on... You could add more axles, but you're also limited on your bridge, so it depends on how the far that distance is and the number of axles that you have in there is based on how much you can haul.
Senator Hansen.
I think that it was you, Mr. Chair, that mentioned, and this is something that I guess that I never really thought about but makes sense, potential damage done to the road by the rear wheels in that long turn. What's the science behind that? Does it tear up the road? Does it tear up the tires or both? I can kind of see where, in the big cities, some of the buses, have rear wheels that actually turn a little bit, but, I need a little bit more enlightenment on just how that all takes place.
Sure, Mr. Chair. Okay, basically what I was talking about is the off-tracking of as you're turning that corner, those rear tires are going to cheat the corner a little bit because of the configuration and the method of turning. And because we're doing that with larger vehicles on roads that were built decades ago that were not designed for these large vehicles, the truck is going to have to take that wider turn, which is going to put them on the shoulder or edge of the roadway as they're coming out of their turn, but also at the same time, that trailer as it's coming around is going to be on the inside or the apex of that intersection as well. And as you've seen most of these county roads, those side portions of the road are not as built as well as the main traveled portion of the road, and that's where your damage is going to come in.
Further questions? Before you leave, Captain, My question is towards safety. Most of these, I'm calling them blue roads again, are on four-lane interstate or four-lane roads. There are some two-lane roads. But here we're going to have a lot of county, township, and some state roads. Is it more of a safety hazard, another 10 feet, or is that really not an issue? I know that just any kind of double trailer is kind of a hindrance for me when I'm trying to decide if I want to pass or not. And, you know, we all get in a hurry. We should learn to take things a little bit slower. But do you see that as a safety hazard by going longer?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I do, because not only because of the turning issue. I mean, I think everybody's probably been at a stoplight or an intersection where, you know, one of those longer vehicles is turning and they either have to wait for somebody to back up or that person is not pulling up to where they should be so that vehicle can make the corner. But also, as you point out, yeah, you have longer combination vehicles, especially if you're in an area where there's an elevator or an ethanol plant or something where they're all hauling to, and then you have people that are, you know, they pass one truck, and then they come upon another one, and then, you know, that could be an issue with they're thinking they're getting delayed, and then they start to do unsafe practices in their driving, nothing on the truck driver's fault, but just the hustle and bustle of our lives and everybody thinking they got to get someplace faster. I do see it become more of an issue, especially if we allow these longer ones, because it'll take them longer to make that safe pass. So, yes.
The question was raised whether you can tell if this is a longer set of trailers and what is legal by vision. I want your viewpoint on that.
Mr. Chair, I personally probably could not tell, but I don't look at these trucks every single day like my inspectors do, and I would venture to say that my inspectors see these same types of trailers over and over. I mean, you know, numerous ones every day. And so I would say, yes, they can say something ain't right about that one, and then they're going to, you know, stop and look at it and then look at it further.
Further questions by the committee? Thank you. Further questions by the committee? I have one for Senator Ferrix. And someone else can help answer if they can. I'm looking at the one up above and the proposed 181. I'm looking at your nice diagram here. How many more bushels, let's just use corn, which is, probably should just use weight because people get confused on bushels because wheat's 60 and corn's 56 and, you know, it'll be all over the place. How many more pounds can I haul with this configuration below than I could with the one if I used a 38 and a 30? Or I think, you know, you could probably have the hookup there to hook up the pup, probably less. You could probably get a little bit longer trailer there. What would be the increase in weight you think you would get?
Well, I guess as far as the weight, that's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the bushels, but we're still talking about the same thing here, and I understand where we're getting at. I guess if you're I can't remember what I threw out before, but I suppose I have to do it on bushels because I don't worry about weight other than I know my truck might weigh, you know, 24,000 empty or 26,000, but... I suppose I'm just guessing if it's 700, 750 on the 30 footer, but if it was a little longer, so 750, I don't know. It would take me a little while to figure it out. I'm not very good at public math, but just a rough guess. I mean, well, what are we going to have if we're adding just between this change here? So there's another 12. I did 12 feet, but even if it's more, 10 feet more on a trailer. And if it's at 30 foot, what are we going to add, another couple hundred bushels? I'm not sure if it's going to be that or 300 maybe. It might be another hopper out of a combine, but again, we're not loading in the field, but if it puts into comparison for everybody. But that's I would better not say anything more. to incriminate myself or to ruin my testimony. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't want to give you false information. Somebody else can.
All right. Thank you. Can anyone else want to take a dive into that? All right.
I shouldn't have even went to the stand.
Well, my point there, and we'll get into that in discussion. Further questions by the committee? If there's no further questions by the committee, we'll close to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action by the committee.
Mr. Chair.
I heard a voice down here, didn't see.
That would be me.
Senator Hunstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move due pass. And I will, if I can get a second, I would like to tell you at least why.
It's been moved by Senator Hunstad. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Senator Hansen. Go ahead, Senator Hunstad.
Thank you, Senator Hansen, and thank you, committee members. The fact is, if I'm on the farm, I'm likely to have 38 or 42-foot trailers. That's what I will have. I really cannot tie up a semi with a 30-footer. So if I want to use a pup for part of the year, then I'm going to leave it parked for most of the year. The real advantage of being able to pull two 38 or a 38 and a 42 is that my existing trucks I could pull with one tractor during that time of the year when I don't have that other person. It allows me to be more efficient use of my time. I'm quite honestly sure that's why the 30 foot isn't a very good idea most of the time. It's not an efficient way to use my time. So when I buy my truck, my semi, I buy one and then I put a 38 or a 42 foot trailer behind it. So I know that Senator Frerichs is trying to get at how can I pull these two together when I have myself to worry about and I'm going to make this long trip. And if I carry them twice, in other words, I carry one 42-footer to town and then I come back and I carry a 38-footer, I'm going to carry just as many pounds down the road. I'm going to do it with two trips and I'm going to take the tractor down that road twice. If I can do it one time with one tractor and two trailers, I actually am going to have less traffic on the road over time. I know that's what we're trying to do here, and we're also trying to expand the direction of having the federal government take another look at this situation. It's been a while. It's probably time for them to look at it. So that's why I offer the due pass, and thank you for your time.
Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a substitute motion.
Go ahead.
Move to the 41st day.
Been moved by Senator Hansen to take to the 41st day. Is there a second on that motion? Second by Senator Frisley. You care to speak to that motion?
No, Mr. Chair. I think that this has been a good discussion. It's been enlightening, and I believe we're ready to take action.
Any other comments on the 41st day? I'm going to make a couple comments. I'm somewhat sympathetic to the senator's thoughts, but at this point, I look at the road situation we have in our counties and the wider turns, the off-tracking. I learned a new term today. I knew what the issue was, but I didn't know that the term was off-tracking. To me, and I've been out there and watched, and we all, since it is going to be more efficient, we are going to push it, I'm afraid it is going to be tough on the roads. And at this point, I don't know that I want to push the feds into losing 10%, because, like you said, we could get it back the next year, but what I would hate to have farmers do is go out and purchase trailers to fit this particular deal, and it only lasts a year when the feds come back and say, no, you lose that 10%. We know we aren't going to give up that $19 million. I'm guessing that the senator would also feel that he doesn't want to lose that $19 million. And then we're going to have farmers that went out and invested in this type of trailer system, possibly, and now it's thrown out. And so I don't think that I don't want to give a signal and then have to reel it back in. And so I'm going to have to vote to also send it to the 41st day. Is there any further discussion by the committee? If not, the secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, we're voting on sending this to the 41st day. Thank you.
Senators Cutler.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Krebs. Maher.
Aye.
Hunstad.
No.
Frisley.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
5-1.
Senate Bill 181 will be deferred to the 41st day by a vote of 5-1. Is there any other business to come before the committee? If not, the chair would entertain a motion for adjournment. Senator Frisley.
Thank you. Just a reminder, the AGC suppers tonight, right?
I believe you are correct.
I think it's over at the American Inn.
At the American Inn. Yes, I think it was postponed. I believe it is there tonight at the American Inn. Anything else? Was there a motion to adjourn? Moved by Senator Maher, a second. Second by Senator Cutler. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.